Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Bills game day. Happy Thursday. This is a beautiful day out here in our Amherst studios. Buffalo Bills at the Houston Texans tonight, 8:15. It is Thursday Night Football, so if you're not in the Buffalo TV market, it is on Amazon Prime. If you are, though, in the Buffalo TV market, it's on Channel 7. Inactives come out at around 6:45. We got a little while here. We got a little bit. It's 10 in the morning. Pace yourselves. And we'll get there. We'll all get there together. Zach Jones here with you now on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you will find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I believe this game is still a 6-point spread in favor of the Bills. We do know Davis Mills is going to start at quarterback for the Houston Texans. Also out for the Houston Texans, Jalen Petrie and backup linebacker Jamal Hill. While for the Bills, Mecole Hardman, Dalton Kincaid, Curtis Samuel are all out, while Fedarian Mathis is questionable. Everyone else should be good to go. However, the big report from yesterday, courtesy of Cover One, is that Keon Coleman looks to be inactive for the second straight game, and it's both surprising and unsurprising. On Sunday, it was because he was late a second time this season to a meeting. Many of us also thought it could have been, in some ways, performance, but the reason given was that he was late. Now this week, if it is 2 weeks in a row, two games in a row, what does that tell us about where the Bills sit with Keon Coleman? It certainly doesn't tell us anything good. But there are ways to look at this and go, it's not the most damning thing ever to happen to him, right? There's a good chance that it's a short week. We're just going to go in with, you know, as much of a game plan as we can, get through the week, hopefully with a win, and move on. Keon will be back in the lineup when they play Pittsburgh. And I think that's probably the most likely option, is that it's a short week and they're going to roll with what they've got. It is somewhat surprising based on the injuries that they do have. It's at two wide receivers. However, neither of them is what Keon Coleman is. Really, you bring up Brandon Codrington, who they signed to the practice squad, and Elijah Moore, and then elevate Gabe Davis again, and you're good. You've got that all figured out. But it is something. It is something. I think in part it is also maturity, but also Keon Coleman has not earned his right, really, his spot on the starting offense. He is not a guy that, unless it is truly something awful where, dude, yeah, we got to suspend you for a game, he's going to be playing. He has not earned that yet. And he may never earn that. I know there are a lot of people that are on social media going, it's only year two. Why are they giving up on him so fast? We don't know if they're fully giving up on him. I will say, if you're asking me, I think this is about done. I think by the end of the year, we're all going to kind of have the same understanding of he won't be here next year, whether you agree with it or not in the decision-making sense. But that's just my opinion. I have no sources on this. Just this is where I'm at with it. And I think it's both the maturity and then also everything on the field. But we will see. I think what really may hurt Keon, though, is if they go in tonight against a great defense, albeit down a guy like Jalen Petrie, who is a very, very good safety. But ultimately, this is an incredible defense, not just made up of one guy, but multiple, and a great coaching staff. If the Bills' offense goes into tonight and does do what I've heard many of you want them to do, which is light them up,
They keep throwing the ball, and Tyrell Shavers looks great, and Elijah Moore takes up Curtis Samuel's role or Mecole Hardman's role, and he's awesome. If that is the case, and it's two straight games without Keon Coleman, I think at that point, we're about done. And I think most of us would agree with it at that point, is, okay, he's not needed then. And that will suck for his young career. It's not good. You're rooting for it. But really, since he's been drafted, have any of us really thought he'd fit the role? I mean, when he came in, the whole thing about him was he's a big slot guy. And then the moment Brandon Bean and his staff sat down with the media, they talked about him being an X receiver. It was never really what most expected him to be coming into the NFL. And yet, it's what the Bills have tried to make him be. Maybe there is a talented receiver in there as a big slot. I don't know. But I'm kind of at this point, I sort of know it won't work for the Bills. And I'm okay if they move on. There's a reason why they were involved in trade talks with a number of wide receivers, big name wide receivers as well. Jaylen Waddle, Brian Thomas Jr., I know has gotten a little bit of run here as well. It wasn't just guys like Rashid Shaheed. They may not say it out loud, but the Bills are telling you how they feel about the wide receiver room. It's not enough. They screwed up. It doesn't make it better. Does not make it easier to swallow. But I'd rather an organization admit their faults in what they do rather than ignore it and keep trying to force a round peg into a square hole. But here we are. The Bills are taking on the Houston Texans tonight. 803-0550, the number to call. Vibe checks for tonight. I know I'm going into this game very much in the sense of just win. It's a tough defense on a short week, and you're on the road. Just get a win. We'll see what happens. But I think where the Bills are at and the team they're playing, they should get a win. But we've said that multiple times this year, against Miami and against Atlanta specifically. And I wouldn't even necessarily say like Miami's defense was this great unit and the Bills scored 13 against them. They look lost that entire game. Atlanta has looked like a tire fire since beating the Bills. But against the Bills, they look like an ascending team in the NFC. And Houston has won two straight games with their backup quarterback, albeit against teams like Jacksonville and Tennessee. But still, they have done that. They are starting to stack wins. I mentioned it yesterday. I thought the Bills could go on a run. I agree with Jeremy White. I think if they get past this game against this defense in this situation, I think they can go on a run here and maybe outright run the table. Maybe. But they've got to get through tonight. And it's in a building they have not won in since 2006, which feels incredible to me, if I'm being completely honest. Feels absolutely incredible that they have not done it. But as we all pointed out earlier this week, it is a house of horrors in the AFC South for the Bills. They have a really tough time with this division. For whatever reason, they have a really, really hard time. And they tend to drop these games against a division that most of us agree is a bad division. They seem to have a really tough time. But we're late enough in the season. There is no more working out the kinks or anything like that. This is the team they've got, and you're playing a backup quarterback. Get after it.
There's no excuse.
There's no excuse. And you know what? And I haven't even brought this up yet either. This isn't even a team that runs the ball particularly well. So it's not even like they have a backup quarterback. Oh, but they've got Bijan Robinson, and they're like the fifth best rushing offense in the sport. They're not particularly good at it. I was on Houston radio yesterday, 610 The Loop. We had John Harris on yesterday as well. And everyone kind of made the same point of, yeah, an okay Houston rushing attack has to find its form. And I look, maybe the Bills' rush defense is exactly what they need. But also, I mean, Sal's brought it up. John Harris brought it up yesterday with us. They've also had Davis Mills throw the ball a lot.
They
and,
have.
And I think that's the Bills' strength is their pass defense right now.
Well, he discovered Nico Collins was on the team, something C.J. Stroud basically struggled with for the entire first half of the season. But
what is it, the last four straight games, Collins is over 10 targets?
Yes. Yeah. The one thing I look at when I just think about this is I'm not really that nervous about it. I think the Bills' offense is going to be able to put up some points because Denver was able to attack the secondary.
They were.
And, like, Yeah.
And I think Bo Nix might be bad. So
that's what I'm saying. Like, I think you have a shot there. But also, what have you been able to do the past few weeks? Since Drake London, no wide receiver one has killed you.
No.
Egbuka did nothing last week for the Bucs.
It really
Jalen Waddle got one catch.
Yeah, it really is the run defense.
Yeah.
That's their problem. And I think when you look at Houston, they're just not a team, I think, that is capable of doing that. An argument is fair that Sean Tucker's a third-string running back, and he popped off on you.
Tampa actually has a running, like a good offensive line.
They have a good offensive line, right? And like that's the thing, is like they're just able to run the ball very well. I just, for me, there is something so demoralizing if you lose to this backup core. And maybe that's the biggest thing for me, is I think they could go on a run if they win tonight. If they lose tonight, though,
it's
against
over.
Their backup quarterback, I don't want to say it's over, right? I mean,
that was what everyone was saying after Miami, right. So it's like crazy.
They'll make the playoffs, like, and that's the thing. They'll make the playoffs. But what's over for Bills fans, it's the idea of the Super Bowl. I have a real tough time buying into this team being a Super Bowl contender if in the middle, you know, in the second half of the year, they lose to a backup quarterback, albeit on the road on a short week. I get it. And Davis Mills is not bad by any means. Again, I mentioned yesterday, I really liked him when he was first coming into the league. You got to get this win. You got to start stacking really good performances. You thought it was coming after the Chiefs game, really after Carolina, the bye. You know, you win by 31 there, then you take on the Chiefs. I still think it's their best overall win they've had this year. And then you just laid this massive egg against Miami that still is probably the most demoralizing loss of the year, you know, regardless of New England beating you and the three turnovers, Atlanta even. You know, Miami is a team you dominated for the last 5 years. You've just absolutely run them over anytime you play them. And only recently have some of the games even gotten close. You know,
that one was bad.
That one was bad, and it was a blowout. You were never really in the contest.
Well, it also was the game changer, though. Yeah. Brady made some big adjustments schematically, right? Like Keon Coleman, I know that wasn't performance-based necessarily, and you were talking about that to start, but I think now it might be after the way they played last week without him.
I'm so curious how this whole thing goes with Coleman. We don't know officially. It's a report from Cover One from last night. We'll see if that's how this is played out. I think there's a good chance, though, it's a short week and just –
we're going to run with what we had last time.
Last time it worked. You know, if it weren't for Curtis Samuel and Mecole Hardman being injured, we'd be running the same lineup. But also, to that point, Keon doesn't really fit those receiver types at all. Like, he's not going to be on kickoff team with Mecole Hardman. Elijah Moore fills the Curtis Samuel role. Like, he's not really, quote-unquote, needed. And like I mentioned, too, his performance is not forcing you to keep him in. It's just not. And then when I see Tyrell Shavers go out there and immediately get good separation and play a big role in the offense, seemingly already have that connection with Allen, I can see where it comes, where all of a sudden, yeah, he's not really needed right now. We are hitting on all cylinders. They've got to keep this going, though. They've got to keep this going. I would love if Houston wants to keep throwing the ball, though. If that's where they want to go and they're going to lean away from the run game, I think this is over already. That's where I'd love them to be. I don't want Houston to run the ball and maybe find something here. I also, though, as I mentioned yesterday, don't really want the Bills to have the same game plan they had against Tampa Bay. I don't think that works against this particular defense, even with guys like Jalen Petrie being out. Houston's defense is a buzzsaw. And the idea of long passing concepts and deep dropbacks and allowing guys like Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter to try and feast on Allen, who has not been particularly good against the blitz this year, I think that is a tough road to go. It might be more exciting, right? It's definitely more fun to watch, and I'm with most people when they say, I'll take 6 touchdowns and 2 picks. I'll have no issue there. You're not going to get that performance every single time. Tampa's not a particularly strong defense, and they're also injured. You were able to finally take advantage of a secondary that is allowing guys to get open, passing games to flourish. Houston is not that. 803-0550, the number to call. We do have Sal Capaccio coming up at 11 o'clock from Houston. Get a little bit of last-minute details on today as we get ready for kickoff at 8:15. We'll have inactives at around 6:45 during Showman the Bulldog. They'll have you for pregame, but we'll go to the phones now to get ready for today. Vibe check, where are you feeling on tonight? And also, thoughts on potentially Keon Coleman being inactive for a second straight day. We go to the phones now. Joe is with us first up here. Joe, how are we doing, man?
Hello.
Yep, Joe, you're on the air. How are we doing?
Hey, how's it going? I just a quick little statement here. I want to preface this with I was never really a fan of Keon Coleman coming out of the draft, but I want to make a comparison between him and Quentin Johnston from the Chargers. As we know, his first couple years were terrible. I mean, he couldn't catch a ball, wasn't getting open. Do we think that there's a trajectory where Keon Coleman can break out in that next year coming up? Do we think it's a scheme issue? What can we do to help him? And I just want to kind of compare those two players, if you can look at the stats from Johnson, and see if it's a possibility that Keon can take a step forward.
Yeah, Joe, thanks for the call. I think that's a really good comparison because Quentin Johnston was a guy who his rookie year was awful. You're right. I mean, his whole thing was he cannot catch the ball. He looked lost at times out of there. And then it didn't help either. He comes from TCU, and a lot of people, I think, thought of him as he's flourishing against Big 12 competition. He doesn't really have that NFL receiver vibe to him. So it was a bad rookie year. I will say, though, and this is where it hurts Keon, Johnston does have a better second season. Goes from 67 targets to 91, 38 catches to 55. His yards go up. His touchdowns aggressively go up from 2 his rookie year to 8 in his sophomore campaign. Even his catch percentage goes up from 56% to 60%. He was much better in his second year than he was in his rookie year. This year is a little shaky. It kind of is like a mixture of the two. The touchdowns are still very high. He's probably going to surpass the yardage as we go here. So we still got a number of games left. He's at 502 now. He had 711 last year. There was some development. He was getting somewhat better. He just maybe wasn't showing out to be a first-round pick like he was. But there was a steady increase for him. The problem that Coleman is now running into, and Sneaky Joe brought up a good name for this, is Jonathan Mingo. It's not getting better in year two. If there's really no progression, what's the point here? And I know a lot of Bills fans are going to bring up guys like Eric Moulds. That's fine. That's a near Hall of Fame level receiver. Have you seen anything from Keon Coleman up to this point? In a Super Bowl window, and I think that's important here, to point to, we should keep waiting on Keon Coleman until he is officially, to like 95% of the fan base, a ball.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I think that's waiting too long. I feel the same way about letting go of players. New England creates a dynasty off of moving off of players maybe a year early so that they flourish for 15 minutes at a new location and then fall off a cliff. They are in a Super Bowl window now. They are not in the business of waiting for guys to develop, and maybe that's not fair. And it's probably not. Because for every disaster, you know, you look at Keon Coleman or Kyir Elam, you have someone that flourishes, Cole Bishop, where the light just turns on. Don't really know what it is. You can point to a few different things, but the light turns on and all of a sudden, boom, you've got a great NFL player. But then you also have situations where, you know, for the Bills, Kyir Elam. I know many people saw kind of in maybe the same vein with Coleman. He's not in the right spot. He should be a big slot, not an X receiver. They're putting him in the wrong spot. For Kyir Elam, it was, well, he played man coverage predominantly at Florida. You're bringing him in on a zone system. You're asking him to learn something he's not particularly good at. Well, he goes to Dallas, and he's one of the worst man coverage corners in the sport. Maybe that's due to the development he had in Buffalo. I wouldn't disagree with that all that much. But his second spot has not helped him at all. He's on one of the worst pass defenses in the game. Coleman, though, if he finds a new home, if it really is done here in Buffalo after this season, maybe he flourishes as a big slot guy. I'm fine taking that risk. Personally, at this point, I am fine taking this risk.
You saw more flash from him last season.
I agree. There was a few games last year where I went.
The Texans game.
Well, the Texans game, Seattle's the game for me.
The big one where he missed that catch on the first one, good coverage, and then he mosses him on the second one. Like, you're not even seeing him attempt. Week one is the only thing you can point at here and be like, okay. And then it's been a downhill trajectory since that.
It has been a precipitous downhill go here. And, you know, looking at last year's rookie year, I said it a lot in the offseason. I wonder what his rookie year looks like if he doesn't get hurt against Miami. Poyer hits his wrist, and he's part of that group. There's like five guys that have wrist injuries. He was starting to come along. Maybe that's kind of the moment where, you know, because the team mentioned at the end of the season, he didn't really handle the injury very well. Coleman was open about it in a number of podcasts I watched in this offseason that he was not really, he'd never really dealt with being hurt before, and he didn't really handle the recovery perfectly. Maybe that's the moment. It's not always fair. It is what it is. This is a professional game. They get paid millions of dollars. It sucks, but I think this might be where we're at. Again, nothing official yet. It is just a report, but it is looking like Coleman is going to be inactive for a second straight game. It may not all be due to, you know, performance-based. This is a short week, and in a bad situation, it might be one of those like, yeah, we're just not going to throw you back out there. We're going to have 10 days to get ready for Pittsburgh. You'll be back in. We'll see. And we'll see even if tonight he's not in as well. We're going to take a quick timeout, 803-0550, the number to call. Tony, DJ, and anyone else who wants to call and give their thoughts on tonight, Keon Coleman, the game, love to hear them. Zach Jones here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
We know we have the talent in the room. Yeah. We know we have the skill in the room. We just haven't been doing what we need to do to get the results that we're looking for. So we just have to tweak a couple things, fix a couple things. It's not like we changed the whole playbook or anything. It was the little things, the real small things that we had to lock in on.
Buffalo Bills wide receiver Tyrell Shavers yesterday with Chris Brown on One Bills Live. What does he have in store for a second act? Is it going to be like Wicked second act where like, ooh, the first one's awesome. Second one, pacing's a little rough.
Is it though?
Curious. I'm going to see Wicked on Sunday. So like that's all I keep hearing is the second act is like, it's okay.
I still enjoy it. I've seen it like 8 times.
Right.
Once in New York and whatever. But like, yeah, it's a little slower. Shavers, story's unwritten, I guess, right? Like, we don't know what to really expect from him. How big of expectations can you really plant on him after 1 week?
I am having like, that hard time with it. Of like, he's been a practice squad guy. It's a wonderful story. I hope he has these big moments. But, like, I know this game has been brought up, but 2019. Duke Williams was a great story. He had his moments. But when push came to shove, when they targeted him 10 times in a playoff game,
he wasn't cutting it.
Immediately, the team's like, cool, we need to change that. So is Shavers closer to Duke Williams, which is still fine. Like, he's still going to have his moments. Bills fans will probably remember him for a long time. Or is he closer to, hey, he should have been on the field a lot longer, and he should have been a focal point. Maybe not a focal point, but a part of this offense.
A contributor. I think that's what he's proving to be, right? Like, he's going to have to do it for more than 1 week, but
right. He's somebody, I mean, number 14. I'm excited to watch him and see what he's got.
He looks too much like Diggs on the field.
He's just taller.
He's a longer Diggs. Mm-hmm. You got the same pads, whatever. Like, the structure is just a little longer, but it looks a lot like him.
It's also going to be really frustrating if, like, his only great plays come against Tampa. The catch against Tampa in the preseason and, like, you know, last week. I'll be like, oh, man. I mean, like, good for you. Like, way to pick a team and just pick on him. But come on. 803-0550, the number to call. Bills, Texans, tonight for Thursday Night Football. We go back to the phones, and we'll start today, or we'll start this segment off with DJ on the line. DJ, how we doing, man?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys today?
Doing well.
Good. So this thing has been driving me nuts since the trade deadline with Bean, the whole passing up Waddle possibly over the first pick of this year or next year, and everything with Coleman happening, obviously the thing with Elam. I know the guys had made some decent picks, but to me, minus, you know, Cook and Josh, I feel like his skill player ability of drafting, it just hasn't really been there. I'm sure we could think of one or two that were decent players, but if we had a chance to get Jalen Waddle in his prime, I don't trust his ability to use that first round pick this year or next year to get somebody that could ever be as good as Jalen Waddle is right now. It's just like such a dereliction of duty of him as the GM, whether he just outsmarts himself or he thinks he's better. You know what I mean? I feel like that was such a miss if that's what it was. I know the other side of the coin could be the Miami GM coming in didn't want to get rid of Waddle, and the guy that was out was the one that was going to do the deal or whatever. I heard that side of the story too, but if it is what it was, that he simply just didn't want to get rid of this year's first as compared to next year's first, like, what are we doing here, man? Like, Josh Allen's 29 years old. Having Jalen Waddle, he would have been so pumped to join this Bills team. And then he goes and beats us the next week. He's one of the main contributors that beat us the next week. It just, that was the only thing I can think of, a dereliction of duty, that you're the GM, man. I understand you're going to be here for a long time and you feel, you know, you're okay in your job and I want my pick next year. I almost feel like if Pegula only put him in a little bit of a hot seat, I know it's not going to be. We have a great, you know, franchise. Things are going great. But in my mind, a guy that was scared of losing his job eventually would have made that pick, would have made that trade, and it would have made this team instantly better. And now we're dealing with Coleman not even playing anymore, and we're going to leave that guy who picked him over Ladd McConkey. Like, it's just, what are we doing here? So I don't know. I just wanted to see what you guys thought about that, and I'll hang up and listen and go Bills and Sabres. I want them to play good, but it's just not happening. So, but have a good day, guys.
DJ, thanks for the call, man. Yeah, I am having fun whenever Ladd McConkey's brought up, because it really is becoming that for Bills and Chiefs fans of, we all yelled at each other for a year only for both of us to have been proven wrong. Both franchises were like, no, Ladd was the guy you all should have picked. The dereliction of duty, I'm glad you brought that up. That's how my dad has talked about this whenever we're discussing it, is just like what happened? Like, what is going on? It is going to be, for better or worse, no matter how the season ends, the trade deadline for Bills fans is going to be that fork in the road moment of, reportedly, you had something huge on the table and it didn't happen. Seemingly, again, based off the reports, because you were not able to pivot, not willing to pivot. And you're right, DJ, to bring up that it only gets worse because then Waddle beats you the next week or plays a big factor in that. HN is probably, you know, the main guy. Waddle is, you know, the Robin of that, but still has a great touchdown catch. And he kind of bullies Maxwell Harrison for a little bit of that game. And then the Keon Coleman stuff. I don't have any inside knowledge of this, but I have thought about this now with Coleman being benched and with everything going on around there. I wonder if the Bills were willing to move him at the deadline. I wonder if they were shopping him. Maybe not aggressively, but I wonder if they were shopping him, knowing that it's not working. Because we're at a point now. The Bills are in a Super Bowl window. They don't have the same timelines as people. They just don't. They don't have 3-4 years to wait to see if a player emerges. They've got about two. And so far, through 1.5, it has not been good for them. That's why they're going for a guy like Waddle, ultimately. It's why for weeks most of us were talking about guys like Rashid Shaheed or what have you, you know, much more of just he's going to fit a very specific role and under no circumstances is he going to be considered a number one, but he's going to help expand this offense, right? Until the reports came out that they were big game hunting. Then all of a sudden it changed everything, how we were talking about the receiver position. Now it all of a sudden became, oh, wait, okay, they're going for a one. Here we go. Let's go. And you're right. Yeah, that report has frustrated me since it came out. because I don't think it does good PR for the Bills, and they probably are the ones that wanted it out there. I don't think it does good PR for them. I don't think fans are sitting here going, well, at least they tried. I don't. I certainly am not, and I think many people agree with me on that. It's not just good enough to try. You're in a window now. You mentioned Allen is 29, going on 30, and I don't know how long his prime will be. I don't believe he will be a quarterback that is at 38, 39, 40, still playing at a high level. I think he'll be playing at a high level until he's about 35, 36, and then we'll have a very aggressive decline because that's the player he is. And that's fine. I'd much rather have him be a shooting star and be good for a window rather than he's pretty good, but he played till he was 40. And I don't get the highlight reel moments, the insanity that he'll bring. I'm having more fun with this style. And that's why I think many of us have been frustrated when they've gone away from the style that we saw on Sunday or we saw in the first few years. But the Waddle thing really has frustrated me to no end. In part because I think that would be the guy that you could have then as your number one for the years going forward. I think Waddle's a fringe number one with Miami. I do think with Josh Allen, though, he could have gone up another level. A quarterback that is able to go off script more with him and can run the offense, I think, much more efficiently than Tua Tagovailoa can. Because Tua, I mean, the big thing with him is he gets off his first read. It's a bit of a nightmare. Allen is not really the case there. And, of course, he would also add a level of speed that I think the Bills are still desperate for. And you need to bring up the skill position players. You know, I want to throw Dalton Kincaid in there now. He is dealing with a lot of injuries. He can't really stay on the field. Even when he's healthy, they don't use him, you know, more than 55% of the time, which is very frustrating. But it really is Coleman, or it is Allen and Cook. You know, Ray Davis, we're still kind of waiting to see his sophomore year. I mean, he was great in the return game on Sunday. But for the most part, the sophomore year has been a total dud. And this is a guy, not that long ago, we were all sitting there going, no, if James Cook wants to sit out, cool, we've got Ray Davis. And I don't think that was a ridiculous thing to say based off the small sample size we got in his rookie year, especially the game against the Jets, where he does have to fill in for James Cook, who was hurt. Thanks for the call, DJ. We're going to go back to the phones, and Tony is up next. Tony, how we doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Doing well.
So I'm going to talk a little bit about the Coleman, if you don't mind, situation, and I have just a couple comments on the Bills moving forward. So I will tell you this, in my personal opinion. And let's look at this like big picture, because sometimes as Bills fans, we kind of are caught up in the moment a bit. But if you take the time to kind of zoom out, look at this big picture-wise. All right, so I would make the argument that Coleman is closer to Duke Williams than Shavers is. Honestly, it's just their entry point is different. I'm talking about the play in the field.
Yeah.
Inconsistency is the term I would use, right? Just overall inconsistent. I think that what we got to look at big picture, and where I'm shocked at with our organization, which I think he's not going to be on the team as we approach the you know, the spring, we get into the off season. Let's talk about this. Let's just talk about right now, like what we're dealing with right now. Now, Shavers to me has shown an innate ability and kind of the DNA that the Bills praise in terms of, you know, the adversity and the way that he handles himself, right, with his day-to-day grind, right, and his work ethic and what they expect out of, you know, a Bills player, an organization. Right, the way he interviews, the way he talks, completely like 10 steps ahead of where Coleman is right now. Now, granted, he's been in longer, but just the way he handles himself. Secondly, when big plays have needed to be made and he's been called upon with the fewest amount of reps, right, out of that receiver room, he has stepped up and made those plays, right? And so, and he's not someone who's getting called out on missing meetings and jogging, you know, right. And he blocks his tail off, right? So, like, I think it's an upgrade. And I know we're all like hoping that, but if you just look at the data and look what he's given you, you'll see that get past the fact that one's a second, late, a first, early second, a second round pick. And the other is, you know, undrafted free agent. Look past that and just look at the body of work. We should be happy that Shavers is in the lineup right now. It's absolutely an upgrade. Secondly, think about this. We got rid of an all pro wide receiver that has proven himself, right? In Diggs, and took a pay cut over nonsense. This dude is showing you nonsense on a regular basis. I'm not saying he's, you know, having issues with Allen or anything like that, but I'm saying, like, you're not even taking the job. Serious stuff to even get to that point and you're gonna stay on the team and be active? Like, you're missing meetings? I mean, what are we talking about right now? I mean, that is such an I think more so than Coleman, that's such an embarrassment for what this organization has been known for since Bean and McDermott took over. That's the thing. I mean, he's got to sit up there and answer to that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's such a classy guy, McDermott. He's going to say, you know, I still believe in them. I mean, he's just a lot of people, he still believe them. They ended up cutting him like 2 weeks later or the following season. He's going to say what he needs to say because that's the kind of man he is. But I do believe, you know, you still think you can make a player better. But, like, to me, this is a privilege to do what you're doing. There's just too many people out there. Wide receiver is not a hard position to find in the draft or in free agency. Like, move on. I say right at this point now, just let's just see what Shavers is. Like, given that, like, he's earned that. This guy hasn't earned anything. And if anything, he's been kind of in a privileged situation and has regressed as opposed to progressed.
Tony, I think that's the right way to put it. And thanks for the call. Is that he has regressed? You know, we had a caller in the first segment bring up Quentin Johnston. I think that's a fair one to bring up because he was a nightmare in his rookie year, but he progressed in his second and then third year now. And it, again, he may not be worth the first round pick the Chargers used on him, but he's certainly not been a disaster as a receiver. And I maybe don't want to use that word either for Coleman, but we are at a point now, I think, with him. That, yeah, you can mention that, you know, guys like Shavers have surpassed him. That maybe he is closer to someone like a Duke Williams than he is to what he was drafted to be. Ultimately a second-round pick. But to be, in many ways, the heir apparent to Stephon Diggs. And they got rid of a guy in Diggs who was still producing for seemingly far less. I mean, they ate a lot of money. Mainly because he was, a distraction, what have you. You do know one thing about Stephon Diggs. He is a workaholic. He is a crazy person with his craft. And the perception around Coleman, because of the being late to multiple meetings this year, and even going back to last year as well, is that he is not taking it seriously, is that he is not taking the privilege of ultimately playing a game and making millions of dollars seriously. Now, it should be noted, McDermott, I think it was McDermott, did note that actually he had one of his best weeks of practice leading up to last week. He was just late to that meeting on Friday. But the perception is going to be, but he got benched because he was late, and he's not taking this seriously. I think we're at if he is inactive tonight, and again, it is still just a report from Cover One. If you're asking me, this is it. This is his last year here. It's not his last snap with the Bills.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
But I think they're going to be moving on from him in the offseason. 803-0550, the number to call. I want to give your thoughts on tonight. Keon Coleman as well. We've been talking a lot about him leading up to tonight. We'll talk to Sal Capaccio in just about 15 minutes as well to get more of a preview for tonight. And also, again, the ideas on Coleman. Two wide receivers are already ruled out for tonight. No, they did not play the same roles as Keon. But, you know, earlier in this week, I thought, just numbers-based, he'd have to be on the field. Maybe that is not the case. Zach Jones here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show, and this is WGR. Ready to take your game day to the next level? Enter online now at WGR550.com for your chance to win a $300 tailgate trade certificate from Alibaba Kebab to feed 12 football fans. Each Friday, a winner is going to be announced during Football Friday with Shopin' the Bulldog, Fire Up Your Taste Buds at any of their three locations. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones hanging with you here on a Bills game day. The Bills are at the Houston Texans for Thursday night football. I did tweet out, just, you know, vibe check, how's everyone feeling? And John gave me, I think, my favorite response ever. Nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs is phenomenal. I would have never thought of something like that. That's great. I'm sensing that from a lot of Bills fans, though, of the nervousness for this game. Understandable. They have not won in this building since 06. They have played down to their competition quite a bit this year, losing to teams like Atlanta and Miami. And it would feel very Billsy on a short week to lose to a backup quarterback. I think, though, if they win this, I agree with Jeremy White. He said this yesterday. If they win today, I think there's a real chance they could go on a run here. Philadelphia does not freak me out nearly as much as they did coming into this season. I think they're very much talented but flawed. New England, let's go. I'm just kind of excited for that next matchup. And then it's a lot of, Cleveland in there. The Jets again. Pittsburgh. I really like where the Bills are sitting at, but they've got to get the job done tonight. 8:15 kickoff. Amazon Prime if you're outside of the Buffalo TV market. Channel 7 if you're within. You have the number to call, 803-0550. Before our next timeout, though, let's go back to the phones. Bill is up next. Bill, how are we doing?
Good. How about yourself?
Doing well.
Yeah, I'm calling regarding a couple different issues. I got two different statements. One's regarding McConkey and Coleman. And while I love McConkey as a wide receiver, he might be suffering a similar fate because he's another slot guy, just like Coleman should have been a slot guy that we're forcing into the outside. If Coleman was in the slot, he might be a lot more successful. He might not be having a problem as we're having besides the meeting issues, of course. So, in my opinion, that wasn't a right fit either. We needed a wideout guy, a guy that can run wide routes, such as maybe even Gabe Davis. So, it was a wrong draft choice. I think that was more of a problem than anything. And that's just the way I feel about it. But the Waddle thing, I don't see why. Maybe they probably wouldn't have wanted him, but why didn't we offer him Keon Coleman and the first round draft choice from the next year if he didn't want to give up this year's? Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, we should have gave up this year's draft choice because we're trying to win a Super Bowl, and who the heck cares about next year's draft choice right. If we could secure a Super Bowl by doing a really smart move like getting Waddle? He would have been a missing link, and I think it would have been a big, big difference in this team. So, unfortunately, we're at where we're at. But the team's still good, so who knows? With Allen, we could do anything. Can you keep me on so I can hear your response, please?
Absolutely, Bill. Thanks for the call, man. On McConkey, that was the perception of him coming out of Georgia. He has somewhat proven that wrong in L.A. I'm not saying he doesn't play in the slot at all or plays exclusively on the outside. He has been more of a do-it-all guy for them. It was more his size. I think a lot of people were very worried that he would not be able to transition to the outside. Not saying like that's his full role, but he has been much more of a kind of a do-it-all for them. And so that's where both Kansas City and Buffalo, I think, missed on him. He does play, though, a good bit of his percentage in the slot. On Coleman, I'm telling you, I have no inside information on this. I think there's a good chance the Bills maybe were trying to shop him. Not aggressively, but maybe try to see where the market is. I also, though, I don't really know how valuable of a commodity he maybe would be. You know, we're talking about the perception of him if he's, you know, missing meetings. All of a sudden, it's not that he cares, but, you know, Sean McDermott later does say, you know, he maybe had his best week of practice. You know, the perception, the Bills are trying to move their second-year receiver. Why? You know, I think that leads to a lot of GMs asking the question, why? We're all doing it with Brian Thomas Jr. when his name was floated around a little bit there in trade rumors. The bonus he had was it's not the regime that drafted him. So it might be a total regime change of no, we're going to remake this in our image. You know, Lawrence is going to be the one guy that stays here kind of deal. And ultimately, they don't move Brian Thomas Jr. But for Coleman, it would be you guys literally just drafted him. And you need a receiver. What's he going to do for us? Now, I do agree. I think he would be much better in the slot. I think that was where he was supposed to be. But I also don't really know how much better. I think there is just maybe a chance that he could be a miss just as a whole. We'll wait and see. And again, we'll see even if he's not active tonight. The report is out of Cover One that he is going to be inactive for a second straight game. That also may not be entirely based off of his play. It could just be a short week, and that's how the chips fall. It just looks bad for him. 803-0550, the number to call. Bill, thanks for the call. When we come back, we'll get a look in at Houston. As Sal Capaccio is down in Texas, we'll get a word in from him when we come back. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Hour number two rolls along here on a Bills game day Thursday. They're getting ready to play down in Houston against the Texans. We've got a few players that are out. Curtis Samuel, Mecole Hardman, Dalton Kincaid. Just one player questionable, Fedarian Mathis. And for more on today's matchup, down in Houston, we go to the Western Hotline. Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, how we doing?
Pretty good. Good morning. Good morning from Houston. We're an hour behind, right? Only game this year the Bills play in a different time zone. It is 10:03 a.m. here.
I heard you say that to Shulton Bulldog yesterday, and it took me like a good like 5 minutes to like really wrap my head around that. I'm like, really? They didn't play in like no, they didn't play the Rams. No, they're not playing. Oh wow, that's right. It never hit me until you said that they've stuck to the Eastern time zone. Good for them. It's easy travel then.
Yeah, you know, it's something we actually talked about. When the schedule came out, even knowing already what the schedule was before it actually, you know, came out, which is the Bills coming into the year had a schedule that many people felt was conducive for winning, you know, against the teams, the opponents. You never know in year to year, but it also was because of the travel. Because when you have a lighter travel schedule, easier on your bodies, you know, that's better on players, it's better on coaches, all those kinds of things. So it was, I think, to me, it was an advantage for the Bills coming into the year to have that. And then you get the only non-Eastern time zone game comes on a Thursday night, which, right. You know, it's not like you're playing, you know, Sunday at 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock, something like that. It is a bit of a challenge though, to travel a 2.5 to 3, it's a close to 3 hour flight on a Thursday night game on a short week. That is a challenge though.
Yeah, absolutely. For tonight, Sal, one thing I was talking a lot, I talked with a lot of callers, and I know the morning guys talked about this as well, the Cover One report from yesterday. And so on this short week, it's reported that Keon Coleman is going to be inactive for a second straight game. How much do you think the short week is going to potentially play into that? Again, we don't know anything for sure, but if that is the case, I have talked to a lot of callers, and even I'm kind of sitting here, you're like, yeah, performance maybe is playing into this, but also the short week could be playing a big factor into that as well.
Yeah, I agree. That's actually the way I thought of it coming out of the last game, to be quite honest with you, Zach, which was even if Keon does everything he's supposed to do, even if he's on time for all the meetings, he is strong at practice, whatever, he just does everything he's supposed to do, and there's no disciplinary action or anything like that, considering how Tyrell Shavers played, considering how Gabe Davis played, considering what the offense did, and then you're playing again in 4 days, and you don't have a time in 4 days to put in like all this exotic stuff in a game plan. Like, you just kind of go out there and play. You might just want to run it back. So if indeed Keon Coleman is a healthy scratch tonight, I don't think it has to mean that Keon Coleman still isn't doing the things he isn't supposed to do. I think it could simply be the circumstance of the turnaround. Now, that said, certainly Keon Coleman didn't do himself any favors by what happened, and then having Tyrell Shavers and Gabe Davis go play the way they did, there is certainly an argument to be made that, well, we really don't really need you on the field right now with the way the offense is playing, and that becomes a different discussion. So I always felt it was a bit of a challenge for him to have this turnaround to be put on the field right away after what happened last week.
But now let's look at Tyrell Shavers, you know, the guy that I think has maybe benefited the most from this, has his best game as a Bill, you know, 4 for 90 and a touchdown. There's already maybe that connection between him and Allen, you know, him, you know, on the scramble drill going deep, and he gets the big touchdown there. He is another one of these stories for Bills fans, I think, of just a great worker. McDermott could not wait to sing his praises. He's earned his spot. He is a little bit older. I mean, 26. I'm 27. I'm not going to call him old. I'm not going to do that to myself. You know, 26. He's been here for a little while and then has that moment. I did have this thought process, though, Sal, because it is against the Houston Texans in Houston. He's not the first Bills receiver to be a hard worker, preseason guy, and then to pop off later in the year. Duke Williams. You know, in 2019, when the Bills went down there, he had 10 targets, and ultimately he's, I think, maybe a big reason why they ultimately go out and trade for Stephon Diggs. Not saying that Tyrell Shavers necessarily to be the same guy, but this is also not the first time Bills and Bills fans have fallen in love with maybe that, you know, that grinder, you know, practice squad wide receiver.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think the difference is like when Duke showed up, he came from the Canadian Football League. Just use him as an example, right? Mm-hmm. Comes to the CFL, and you're like, okay, like this is a guy that can, you know, I think, was that him? Was that him? Or Derek Rogers was also another guy. Remember him, Derek Rogers, for a brief hot minute. Who else was Isaiah Hodgins? They drafted, yeah. And you know, you felt that he could go into that role. I think Duke was CFL. Either way, the point I'm making is this has been a gradual ascend for Tyrell Shavers. Remember last year first year he's undrafted free agent. He's on the practice squad. Okay. You're kind of a forgotten man. Last year, he made enough plays in preseason where you're like, he might get a spot. I don't know. And when he was released, there were a lot of people who felt, wow, maybe he should have got a spot. We'll see. And then he's on the practice squad all year. And remember what happened at the end of the year? He gets a shot in the Jets game, 69-yard catch and run for a touchdown. Right. So that was like kind of the coming out. Oh my God, here's Tyrell Shavers. And then there were a lot of people, give this guy more opportunity, give him more of a chance. Goes to this year's camp, and here we are again. And this time, he kind of put himself in the same position, even after an injury in camp. Let's remember that.
Right.
One of the things that stands out to me about Tyrell Shavers is he had a pretty bad-looking foot/ankle injury in camp, and it looked like, man, he's going to be out a while. This really sucks for him. He's not going to have a chance to make the team. He worked his tail off to get back. He got back within a week, if I remember right. And then he goes out there and he makes plays again. Then he goes to that Tampa game. In the Tampa game, the last preseason game of this preseason, Zach, remember he had that catch for a touchdown, did really well. And that was kind of what's probably sealed it for him. I think that game was okay. Like you have to find a spot for this guy. And then all he's done since he's been on this team is really help out in two different phases, mostly on special teams, but now on offense. He kind of did become the Mac Hollins replacement.
Yeah, and like, you know, that's the thing, too, and he's making plays, and, I mean, we talked about it to start this week, too, led all receivers in the NFL in their separation score, which, take that for what you will, that's always kind of an up-in-the-air stat, but that's something Bills fans have been screaming for. I think the Bills probably themselves have quietly been screaming for guys to get open. I'm so curious what his second act is going to be here. It's a short turnaround. It's against a really talented secondary. It can also be a bit of a dud. The Bills may not try to pass the ball a ton tonight against this defense, even with guys like Jalen Petrie being out. But there's also, of course, that maybe potential that he goes out there and even has a better, an encore act, if you will, against guys like Derek Stingley, who are inarguably one of the best corners in the sport.
It's going to be tough either way. I just don't know. There's no right way to attack the Texans' defense, I think. I think you go out there and you try to kind of have a balanced attack. You see what's working. And if you can maybe get something going in the run game, you stick with that. If there's something in the pass game you like, you stick with that. I don't think there's any one way to go out there and say, oh, we're going to attack this team and their metrics in this area are poor, so we attack them, because they're not. They're good in everything. I think about the Dolphins game, and it was the other way, right? Oh, yeah, just go out there and just give it to James Cook. He's running for 200 yards. No. Dolphins said, we're going to shut down James Cook and force you to beat us through the air. And then what happened? The Bills couldn't do that. They never got anything going in the passing game. You just never know when you go into a game. You could have a team that's super highly ranked or super low ranked in whatever categories and metrics, and the game just kind of goes different because the other team finds a way maybe to fix something, or you find a way to have some success. So I don't know what the one right way would be, or I don't think there is a right way. I think the Bills have to go out to tonight and probably try to establish the run. And if they can start getting something going, that would really help. And the more important thing, though, to me would be to be balanced, because you cannot become a one-dimensional offense against this defense. They will pin their ears back and they will come after you, and they will be physical and aggressive. And remember last year, Josh Allen here in Houston, his worst performance, maybe of his career, actually, right, overall. Because that's what they did. They were able to start getting after him. And, you know, there were a lot of things that it wasn't like they were down large this whole game and they had to start throwing the ball all the time. But there was just nothing there. And he started pressing, because this defense really can cause you a lot of problems with the way they play.
And Sal, you know, it's maybe important to bring up for last year. Allen was barely sacked. He's the least sacked quarterback last year. He's already surpassed that number this year. The Bills have had problems against the blitz. It really might be a bad idea to try to go in there and just make it a bit of a gun show. It's something I talked with a caller yesterday, you know, wanting to see them, like, get up on them 21-0. It's like, that's all fine and dandy. I don't disagree. I just don't know if this is the team to try to do that against.
Listen, I remember I heard that call. It was Jerry. And Jerry, everybody would like to go up 21-0 on any team, or 21 points in the first half in any game. And then that's a pace of 42 points in a game. I mean, you just, how are you doing that against this team? If your expectation, if anybody thinks the Bills are going to go out there and, oh, just put the pedal to the gas and score three touchdowns in the first half. Sure. Is it possible? Anything's possible. Mm-hmm. That's not a plan, though, against this team, I think. I think the plan that you have to have against this team is to be careful not to make mistakes, take your shots when available, but be calculated about it, right? Because if you do make a mistake against this team, they're going to make you pay. They're going to hit your quarterback. They're going to have – they have the top five, I believe, in takeaways and plus plus-minus turnover margin. They're 11th in sacks per pass attempt. Yeah, you just have to – here's a thing I think, too, Zach. I think this is a game where – if you get an opportunity, and last week the Bills were very good at kick returns, and maybe this is a game this week where you pop something off in a return game or you get something on defense maybe, right? That could be the swing in this game. And again, that's not a plan. You can't say a game plan is to score on defense. You'd love to do that every game. But this might be a game where the difference in the game might be a special teams or a defensive score.
Sal, I'm so glad you brought up the kick return because I was talking a little bit about Ray Davis in that first hour, and he's had a very quiet year, you know, the one touchdown against Atlanta notwithstanding. Last week, though, in the return game, it felt like any time he touched the ball, they were having a great moment. The one is Mecole Hardman's the fumble, but that also was the first time we had seen really all year this year, Sal, that they were actually able to get something going. I don't know if that's more due to Tampa or for the Bills, but you're right. Like if they can start getting that going, that played a huge role in how successful the offense was last year. Is their starting field position?
Yeah, it was way better last week. You know what's crazy though is. You know, we talked about this going into that game. The Bills had the second worst starting field position in the league going into last week. I haven't checked yet where they rank. I'm sure they moved up a little bit. But it's funny. They get those returns. They actually had really good field position all day. The average drive start for the Bills after kickoffs was their own 44, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And yet, despite the drive starts they had, all these great drive starts throughout the game, I think I looked at – there was like any drive start beyond their 40 – I think they had three of them, including one in plus territory, yet all of them together, Zach, only added up to 3 points. They didn't convert. They didn't convert. I mean, but it did matter to help flip the field. I mean, yes, I know Tampa still scored a lot of points, but at least it helped you not have to be punting from your own end. But you got to convert. If you're going to do that, you got to convert. And then tonight, I think, you know, big key, I wrote my three keys to the game. People can look at that at WGR550.com. One really big key tonight, the one area the Texans are not good on defense is red zone. They are one of the worst teams in the league in red zone defense. They're so good. Until you get inside the 20s, for some reason, they have not been very good. And the Bills are a good red zone offense. So the Bills have to be good in the red zone tonight and convert. When they get down there, they got to score touchdowns, not kick field goals. I know it sounds cliche. It's what people say in football all the time. But if you look at the numbers of the Texans, they give you opportunity. And on the flip side, the Bills have actually had been pretty good in their own red zone defensively. And again, they're going to have to come up with stops when the Texans with Davis Mills at quarterback get into the Bills red zone.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sal, I was on Houston's radio yesterday, 610, The Loop, and they had mentioned too one thing that I think they're very keyed in on with playing the Bills. It's scrambling quarterbacks. And that's something Bills fans I know have been very frustrated with the Bills, probably for the last few years, of talking about like lowering how much Allen runs. That seemed to come back a little bit against Tampa Bay. And I do wonder with this team now and kind of just needing to continue drives, get first downs, I do wonder if maybe some of the design runs for Allen are brought back just to try to keep these drives moving.
I wonder too. I mean, if you go back and look at last year, it was right around this time of year where Josh's carries started ticking up. Now, not all designed runs. There were some, you know, scrambles in there. But in mid-November, if you go back and look, last year in mid-November is when Josh started running the ball more, and probably because he needed to, and it's critical time. And you got to start, you know, really thinking about how important these games are in these situations. So we'll see if that happens tonight. Again, it's a risk, you know, when he does that and getting hit and things like that. But he's been great about it. So I wonder, too, if that's the case. When they got in the red zone last week and they had Josh, you know, the tush push is one thing, the quarterback sneaks. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the one run, obviously, where he goes off to the right on the read and then he runs into the end zone. Those are just really tough to stop. he might take a shot or two, and that's something you have to deal with. But you know, if that's your best offensive play, then that's what you have to do.
Sal Capaccio here on the Wester Hotline down in Houston to get ready for Bills at Texans tonight, 8:15 kickoff. We'll be on Amazon Prime, but if you're here locally in the Buffalo TV, you know, range, it's going to be on Channel 7. Sal, one thing you brought up with Showman the Bulldog yesterday, because you know, talking with Keon Coleman and potentially being down, it's also that he doesn't really fit the roles of the two receivers that are down, being Curtis Samuel and Mecole Hardman. And one name to really point to is Elijah Moore could be brought up. He was not active last week. And you also mentioned, too, because of a guy like Jalen Petrie being out for this game, that maybe Moore could play a bit of a role with, I believe it's Miles Bryant, has been kind of overtaking Petrie's role these last, well, now going to be three games.
Yeah, Miles Bryant's the guy that Isaiah McKenzie had a lot of success against when Bryant was in New England a few years ago. I'm sure a lot of people remember that game. We call that the Isaiah McKenzie game, maybe. Mm-hmm. There's a couple Isaiah McKenzie games. There was the COVID game against the Dolphins, too, at the end of the year, where he was amazing at three touchdowns. But against the Patriots that year, he really – the Bills did a great job of getting that matchup. And it's a totally different team. It's a totally different defense, of course. You know, you're not going to have – it's not going to be one for one, apples to apples. But if you can find a way maybe to match up a guy like Elijah Moore on Miles Bryant, maybe that's an area where the Bills can have success. But Khalil Shakir too, right? I mean, Khalil Shakir is an excellent wide receiver. You just wonder about his ankle and his ribs. He missed all practice this week due to the birth of his first child. But he'll play tonight presumably, and he'll know the game plan. And he'll be able to fit right in seamlessly. But maybe that's an area where the Bills can find some success. So if that is the area they find success, that's maybe 5, 6, 10 yards downfield, right? It's not taking shots all the way down the field. It's middle of the field controlling it. They're going to miss Dalton Kincaid tonight. That's obviously a miss anyway. When you miss him, I should say, but they're going to miss him tonight because one of the areas where the Texans also aren't the best at is coverage from their linebackers. So if the Bills can find a matchup with their linebackers and then Petrie as well, where they can try and manipulate that a little bit, that might be an area where they can get success.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, speaking of Khalil Shakir, I'm on the Houston Texans website just to have their injury report as well, but they have the Bills. And they've got most of the injury report correct. Mecole Hardman out, Dalton Kincaid out, Curtis Samuel out, Fedarian Mathis questionable. They also do have Khalil Shakir listed out because he did not practice, I think, all week due to the personal reason. I thought it was just funny because I'm looking at this, I refresh it, I'm like, oh. Well, that might be a surprise for some of their fans is to see Khalil Shakir is, in fact, playing for the Bills, or at least I haven't heard anything, Sal. I don't know if you've heard anything, but at least on their website, they do have him as listed out. So I thought that was a little bit of a funny note.
Oh, the Texans do?
The Texans do, yeah.
Yeah, that's wrong. That's exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wrong. I don't know why. I guess maybe because he was listed as non-participant. But
Tony, though,
nothing that I know of says he's out. And the Bills official, Bills official injury report doesn't have that either. And I wouldn't imagine that he would be out.
Mm-hmm. Sal Capaccio here for just a few more minutes. We're getting ready for kickoff at 8:15. We've got a little while, though. We got to pace ourselves, Sal. I mean, I've got one energy drink right now. We're probably going to be on two. I'm going to pace myself, though. I don't want to go too aggressive on that. One thing, though, before we go, we haven't talked a ton about the Houston Texans offense. I think in part because it's Davis Mills at quarterback, but you've mentioned a lot this week. He's throwing the ball a lot. They are trusting him to throw the ball. And especially the guy like Nico Collins, who was a full participant for much of this week. I think he was limited to start, but ended up being full in his no game day designation. Again, I mean, I think it's going to be another test for what I believe is a very much improving secondary for the Bills.
Yeah, I agree. Nico Collins is the guy. They're going to throw to him a lot tonight. He has, since Davis Mills has become the starter, 16 catches for 192 yards over the last two games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you go back there, he had another 7 catches the week before that, so like 23 catches. It's crazy. Like, this guy is just like, they're just throwing the ball. He's the guy. They're going to throw him in every situation. It doesn't matter. But especially on third downs, when Davis Mills needs a play, when he needs a first down, he's going to look to Nico Collins. The Bills have to be aware of this. I'm sure they are. And they have to have a plan to defend it. I don't know if that means double team, shading, maybe following them with Christian Benford or Max Harrison, whatever it is, they got to have a plan for Nico Collins because the philosophy has to be tonight, make someone else beat you. Make someone other than Nico Collins beat you in the passing game. Dalton Schultz is a good player, but if I'm going to choose between Nico Collins having a night or Dalton Schultz, I'm going to say Dalton Schultz can have a night. I'm not going to have Nico Collins beat me, but he's a fantastic player. It just reminds me of the night they played in Atlanta, and it was just Drake London after Drake London all over the place, right? And that's what the Texans are going to do tonight. Now, for the Bills, you're right, improving secondary. I think we've all seen the ascension of Cole Bishop. Last year here in Houston is the play where he got beat by Nico Collins over the top, and I'm sure a lot of Bills fans remember that. Wasn't quite ready to be in the role that he's in right now, but now he's playing that role really, really well. Jordan Poyer's helped him out a lot. I'd like to see Jordan Hancock on the field a little bit more. I think it just adds a little bit more speed. But at the same time, you know, the Bills might play a more base defense tonight too, because this is a team in the Texans that will probably want to establish the run game like other teams have against the Bills. They don't have a great run game, but they're going to want to run the ball because everybody seems to run the ball against the Bills. Yeah. So how do you combat that? Maybe you put Shaq Thompson on the field, Dorian Williams. We'll see about Shaq's status. He was full all week. No injury designation. That was the case last week. He didn't play. But, you know, the Bills might the Texans might say, we're going to run the ball, and the Bills, you know, run it base defense on first and second down, and then force David Mills into third and long situations.
I'm very curious, concerned, you know, however you want to put it, I guess, with this, is just the Texans are not a good run offense. We've both talked to multiple people in Houston. They're all kind of saying the same thing of like, it may not go well. They may try, but it may not go well. I just wonder where we're all sitting. Even if, let's say, the Bills win, Sal, and it looks a lot like maybe Tampa Bay, but if Woody Marks like has a day and he's just able to go off, we're late enough in the season, they can't really make a ton of changes. Is that run defense going to be this team's Achilles heel?
I mean, it has been so far, right? So, you know, we'll see. The thing about tonight is they have six available defensive tackles. I do wonder what the active and inactive list looks like. Now, it might be a stretch to expect Fedarian Mathis to be ready to play. So if you count him as an inactive, you're still down to five. Who's the other inactive if you have one? Or are they all active, right? But going forward, if they have six healthy defensive tackles, you do wonder what that looks like. And they're going to have to find the right combination to try and, you know, stop teams from running the football.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Sal. I mean, you got a while now to the game. So any plans today in Houston or just kind of hanging out?
Not as much as you think. It's 11:30 there. Yeah. I think at 4 o'clock your time, 3 my time, that's when my bus will leave to go to the game.
Okay.
So we still got a few hours here. Yesterday, I took a nice walk when I was on with Shelton Bulldog. You heard me say I was walking. Mm-hmm. It was 83 degrees. Took a nice walk. There was a shopping center. It was a good, 20-minute walk. Might do that today a little bit. There's a pool right behind me. I just like to clear my head a little bit. You know, get a long night tonight, flight back, early morning tomorrow. So today's a day that I'll probably just kind of be relaxing, clear the head a little bit, get ready for the game, and then head over to the stadium at around 4 p.m. Eastern.
Sounds good. All right, man. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, you too. Thanks.
Sal Capaccio there down in Houston on the Wester Hotline. We'll take a quick time out here, 803-0550. We're freed up the rest of the way. We're talking a lot about Keon Coleman and the potential that he is going to be inactive for a second straight game. How do we feel about that? How do you feel overall about tonight's matchup? Also read some tweets when we come back. Zach Jones along with you here until 12 o'clock here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones here on a game day Thursday. Getting ready for the Bills to take on the Houston Texans down in Houston. Playing a backup quarterback, Davis Mills. Davis Mills, the quarterback I saw play in the last time I will go to Highmark Stadium. I know that pretty much for sure. I work the games. I'm not going back to Highmark Stadium this year. It is what it is. It's like 3 years ago, 2 years ago, whatever it was, the monsoon game when Houston came here and Buffalo just absolutely whooped on him. It was Dawson Knox's big year. I remember that. They were a bad team then. Houston, I mean.
That would be 2021. Dable was still the coordinator that year,
right? I think it was
22. Right? 22, something like that.
But I remember, Houston's a bad team. That's why it just rattled me. I'm like, they haven't won in Houston since 06. They've played some bad Houston teams. They've just been in Buffalo.
Yeah. Was that the same year as the perfect game in the playoffs?
No, I think it's the next year, I think.
So would that be Knox's big year? Or I feel like the year before was Knox's big year. You know what I'm saying?
I gotta look at this. I gotta look.
Because Knox gets the contract after the big season, but then the Bills draft Kincaid.
Oh, is this in 21?
I want to say
this
it was
is in
2021.
It's in 21, yeah.
Yeah, because if it's Knox's big year,
right,
it's 21.
Yeah, it's 21. I thought it was 22. 22 is the Rams opener. 21,
yes.
They start 4-2. They lose to Tennessee and Kansas City in back-to-back, which, by the way, it follows the Houston game where they win 40-0. That's the game I went to.
That game was huge. I remember that game. I was actually there. I was at that game.
Oh, were you?
I was up in the 300s getting poured on with a poncho the entire time.
That's exactly where I was, too. That's exactly where I was, too. Yep. I had actually just started working, you know, within the company, and I wasn't here on GR. I was over at our sister station, WBEN, on the weekends.
Exactly, yeah.
And I was working Sundays, but Sunday nights. And so I went to that game, got soaked, I mean drenched, and then had to come here.
Yeah.
And then worked for a few hours until 11 o'clock at night. And I was like, oof, this was a decision.
Not a great vibe. Not a great feeling.
No.
Aside from them winning, I was also at the Colts game where they got murdered up there.
Oh, when Jonathan Taylor,
and
right?
That was also, that was also a raining game. Like, we were getting soaked the entire time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the 2021, what a year for the team.
What a year. It got real bad and then got real good and then got real bad again.
The Bucs were the turning point. Yeah, they lost that game to Tom Brady in overtime, but from there on out, that was that.
They did have that in multiple seasons, because then filling overtime was arguably the
every odd season. 21, 23, 25.
Crazy.
And then 22 and 24 were just like dominant in 2020.
That's right. That's weird.
Isn't that odd?
It's very weird.
History repeats itself, and for the Bills, it's every other year. So
I wish they could be like the San Francisco Giants, though. Like, odd year, they win the World Series.
Right.
Even year, they don't make the playoffs. Like, but I'll take the World Series, though.
Hey, I mean, we might have some luck on our side. With the Blue Jays losing the World Series, I hate to say that on the airwaves, but when they've won in the same year the Bills have gone to the Super Bowl, the Bills have lost. So, hey,
let's
take what we can out of that.
You know, I still sit here with the AFC. I don't think it's a particularly strong conference compared to years past, like we're saying, like where it was juggernaut teams where you're just like, yeah. I mean, San Francisco is basically the only good team in the NFC. Everyone good is in the AFC. We've kind of flipped a little bit now.
Yeah, you have the Rams in the NFC now really showing out.
Eagles,
again.
Detroit, Eagles. Tampa if you want them.
The
when
Eagles
they're healthy.
Are so weird. Do we call them a good team?
I want to say they're very talented and very flawed. Like, that's where I'm at with them. Hmm. I know they're talented. I know they're good. They're also deeply flawed.
This Eagles-Cowboys game this week is going to be a little interesting after what happened in week one.
I know. And then you know what else is going to be interesting? Joe Burrow might be back at quarterback.
Dan Orlovsky was talking about it yesterday, and then Zach Taylor today said something about it.
He was a full participant yesterday. I didn't see Zach Taylor's comments, but they're not going to have Jamar Chase. They will still have T. Higgins, and they're going up against New England.
Mm-hmm.
Win tonight, we're all going to be locked in on that 1 p.m. game on Sunday.
I'm glad it's a 1 p.m. game, too.
What's going on here? Hopefully we have it here locally. I have no idea if we're going to have it locally.
We should.
It's going to be a big division game. If New England can drop one, I agree with everyone that says that. The feeling around the team is, I think, much more negative than the record shows.
Yeah, not 6-6 like they were 2 years ago.
Right.
Yeah,
but no. I think it's because New England beat you at home, and now they're ahead of you in the division, and the feeling is, where are they going to drop games?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if I told you this or not. I did put a wager on the Bills winning the AFC East.
Did you?
Yep.
Good for you.
And I did that 2 years ago when they were 6-6, and they ended up running the table and winning. So, got to bring the same vibe back again. So, you got gusto.
You got gusto. I've seen some of your long parlays where I'm like, dog, you had time on your hands, and or you're just like, let's see what magic I got.
Let's see what happens. I don't know. I legitimately look at the Patriots schedule, though. Baltimore, I think they lose that game. And I'm a proponent for the Giants could surprise you. I think they surprised the Eagles earlier this year. Could Jackson Dart?
Maybe.
Week 18, Miami? Oh, you think you're going to win the division?
Oh, with everything on the line? I remember that was Brady's house of horrors a lot of the time was at Miami. He had a tough time there. Although it is home at Miami.
It's home in versus 18. Miami, but still, wouldn't that be a Mike McDaniel thing to do? Like, nah, you know what? You can't have the division yet.
Give it back to the Bills.
Yeah. Yeah. Not even worried about the Bills, probably. Just be like, you're not going to be the next team.
Yeah, you're not going to be the ones.
No.
I don't like having to play them off a bye week. That's going to suck. I'm not going to love that at all. Vrabel is a very good coach.
Yeah, and he's not an X's and O guy, which is something that...
He doesn't feel like an X's and O's guy. Like he's
feels, a vibe guy.
I'm going to bring in a culture. It's going to be amazing.
Well, he's hugging everybody, waiting for everybody to get into the locker room after the game, even if they're doing interviews and stuff. He waits until the last person's in there. Like,
the worst thing the Titans did was fire him.
Well, that's the same. Okay.
Or trade A.J. Brown.
Yeah, that might be up there. I don't know.
1A, 1B. That's fine.
But... It's the same conversation of the Bills culture before McDermott kind of rolled around and changed how things operated on the inside, right?
Mm-hmm.
Vrabel just did the same thing with the Patriots because it was Belichick and then Gerard Mayo tried as a Walmart Belichick, right? A budget Belichick.
Which is weird because his whole thing was like, I'm not Bill. I'm not going to be Bill. And I loved his first press conference about that.
He didn't run the team well whatsoever. It was a little out of spite, but Joe Milton balled out in the last game, I think. You know what I mean? Letting that happen. But they've moved in such a better direction. And all offseason, I was worried. And Derek Kramer and I talked about it a lot. I was very nervous. I said, the Patriots are going to win 11+.
Oh, yeah, because the schedule pointed to Drake May showed enough as a quarterback, and
he gave the Bills a run for their money in the one real matchup they had last year.
Yeah.
And that was a scary game all of a sudden. And I'm like, okay, the Patriots are knocking on the door again, and here they are. They kicked it in, and they're sitting in the Barca Lounger in the middle of your living room right now, and you're just waiting to – you got to take the house back from the squatter, you know what I mean?
You got to do it. That's not such a good way to put it. Yeah, they're squatting right now. Joe Burrow, we'll see if he plays on Sunday. Got to win tonight, though, at Houston. 803-0550, the number to call. I did promise when we went to break, and Jaeger has been very patient today, so Jaeger joins the show now. How we doing, man?
Not too bad, guys. How are you?
Doing very well.
Hey, so just one comment on the James Hardy, Keon Coleman saga, and then I have an observation for you, too. That was a little joke that I inserted for Bills fans. I don't blame Brandon Bean on that per se. It would have been nice to have him for a first and a third, but to give up a first and a third in the same year when we're going to need a linebacker, you can always use a quarterback, you can always use a safety, you can, D end. We have a lot of holes to fill. To get rid of those two big picks, to take on a guy who might ball out this year with Josh Allen, but then what happens next year? Does he hold out for a contract? We are on limited space as it is. I mean, you could give him a contract backloaded, but then you're kicking a can and you're really hampering yourself and you have holes. Like, we need a linebacker. We can always use another safety, a cornerback. So I don't blame him on that. If we could have gotten at least the third for 2027, that would have been different. But I don't blame him on that part. My observation is this. The last game we played, one of the things I think we really excelled at that we weren't doing, and Chris Collins would call this out in week one, when we were under center, we're like 85% run team. There was a lot of first down play action under center last week.
Yes, there was. Yes.
And I thought that was huge. And the only thing I'd question Josh Allen is doing, if you're under center, he puts his hands behind his back and he tells Cook which way to run. Well, now you're kind of tipping your pitches. So you were running under center on first down with play action and you were fooling the team. But if you're going to put your hands behind your back, that was almost like a 95% chance of it being a run. So I'd like to see him maybe not do that, but I thought running play action on first down under center was a key that I hope they do again this week. I just want to hear what you guys think about that.
Jaeger, I love that you brought that up. That's something – the Bills have always been very good with play action under Josh Allen, at least since his ascension. I shouldn't say always. His first 2 years passing was always a struggle. But since his ascension in 2020, they've been a very, very good team in play action. If I remember right, it was maybe like 2 years ago, there was a report that Allen didn't like turning his back to the defense in play action. So, like, he didn't want to always do that, but they were so successful at it. I'm with you. I hope they do more of that. I've also thought the Bills have maybe tipped their pitches a few times this year with personnel usage, right? When James Cook came in, it was, they're going to run the ball. Ty Johnson's going to be a pass. That's why it was so imperative, I thought, that they also got the running backs involved in the passing game. James Cook finally, he's had a great year running the ball, but he finally was used more in the passing game, as was Ty Johnson. And I think it just gives a little bit more of an element that teams have to worry about, a little bit extra bit. I mentioned that a ton with the deep ball receiver, the speed guy, the one that can stretch the field. Allen himself brought it up of just the idea of when they went to Mecole Hardman play, you'd love to convert it, but it's the idea. Really like maybe 25-30% of it is the idea that we can do that. You have to worry about that. I've mentioned that with Xavier Worthy, and I do agree with people on this that, if we're really going to, compare Worthy and Coleman, Worthy, I think, threatens defenses more. Coleman may have more yards or what have you, but I think he stresses defenses out more with the idea that he, at any given moment, boom, and he's running past your corner and you've got a real problem on your hands. It's not the most efficient play in the world, but it stretches a defense out. It allows you to go underneath, which I think is what the Bills want to do. And you saw that with Mecole Hardman and Curtis Samuel and Tyrell Shavers. They were able to go down the field and really test a defense. I hope they start to bring in a lot more of the stuff. And now in the second half of the year, I think they definitely can. And, you know, you also bring up the draft stuff too, and it's a totally fair argument. I think that's a totally fair argument. It's going to frustrate me, but I'm a draft junkie. I'm all for the picks. I'm usually more on, and I know Mike Schoep brings this up a lot too, of like the more picks, the better. I'm usually along those lines unless it's like a clear-cut stud. I'm really only in the appetite to trade up for like two positions, maybe a third, and it really is quarterbacks, edge rushers, and a quote-unquote can't-miss offensive lineman. Like that's really kind of it, and more tackle. And that's really about it. Like everyone else, you can kind of sit there and maybe get a really good player. Safety is famous for this. If you don't need to take a safety in the first round, you can get a starting safety in the third or fourth round their rookie year, and you're happy as can be. I will say, though, nationally, draft people seem to be way more upset at the Dolphins than they were the Bills for the Dolphins not accepting the 2027 first-round pick. Because that draft class is considered to be, you know, otherworldly. Now, it's so early. We're not even at 26 yet. So, like, what does this actually mean, right? I've talked about it a lot. This college quarterback class has done a complete 180. It went from, like, yeah, you're waiting for 26 to now Fernando Mendoza might be the only good one. And even then, we're all kind of shaky on it. He might even be the only guy that leaves. Both Ty Simpson and Dante Moore might stay at Alabama and Oregon, respectively. But I saw a lot of people, Brett Coleman was one of them as well, that were more frustrated by Miami of just not admitting we're going to a full rebuild. Gather as much draft capital as you can. Build a war chest while you can because you're going to be restarting. Instead, they maybe got picky on the years they wanted. You know, the Jets, 26, it's great for them. They got two firsts and 2 seconds. 27 is the real crown jewel. They got three first-round picks in that class. And if it really is as good as a lot of people are saying, oh boy, I mean that – it's got to work eventually, right, for the Jets. I don't want it to as a Bills fan, but it's got to work eventually for one of them or Cleveland. They gather so many first-round picks, and it doesn't lead to anything. Eventually, it's got to work. 803-0550, the number to call. Quick timeout here, 12 o'clock, Sabres Live. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Wrapping up today's show, getting ready for Bills and Texans tonight at 8:15, Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime if you're not within the Buffalo TV market. If you are, though, it'll be on Channel 7, so don't worry. And, of course, right here on WGR, home of the Buffalo Bills. Did tweet out today just kind of an idea of, you know, vibe check. Where's everyone at? I've kind of sensed a little bit of nervousness, at least definitely from me and from some other fans as well. They're going up against a very good defense. They have laid an egg against a number of, quote-unquote, bad teams this year, Miami and Atlanta. And so just want to go through some of those here. Brandon tweets in, I sense an offensive struggle again. I would agree with that. I do wonder, though. I mean, if they win this game 20-10, I'm not going to complain, I think, all that much. I don't think I'm going to come in next week going, oh, no, it's all disaster because of the defense they're playing. I expect a 20-24-point performance from the Bills. If they're able to go 30-plus, I might be singing their praises maybe more than I should against a team like Houston. But it is because of the unit they're going up against. If they're able to look almost identical to what they did against Tampa Bay or Kansas City or Carolina, I think it's a hell of a performance by this team, and it probably also signals that a guy like Tyrell Shavers had another really good game. James Cook maybe was able to get off and really start to lean into what has been a great season for him. I think also, by the way, he's 33 yards, James Cook, I believe, away from 1,000 this year, so hopefully he gets that tonight. But yeah, I think it's going to be an offensive struggle. I think, though, realistically, that should be somewhat expected based off the opponent they're going up against. Bills fan in Birdland, I assume that's Philadelphia, stressed as always. Yeah, I can understand that one. I can fully understand that. It just, as the Bills have gotten better and they've now hit to this, you know, last five-year period where they're just, you're kind of expected to win, there is also kind of the changed expectations for all of us and how we treat them. You know, during the drought, it was just kind of a thing we all did. We almost expected them to lose. If they won, great. If they lost, okay. I'm going to be a little annoyed, but I'll move on with my life. It has changed a little bit. Now, going up against our lesser opponent, your six-point favorite, got to get done. Got to get it done. And then last one, Chad tweets in, better than I did going into Texas, Georgia. Still not great. Boy, could I not agree more. Hated every second of that game. I think someone needs to have the courage in college football to ban onside kicks after you score a touchdown. But it's neither here nor there. I did not feel good about that game at all. I feel much better about tonight. I'd say I'm closer to great. They are going up against a backup quarterback. I feel like they've got to get it done. Got to get it done. Because the schedule points to, okay, you can go on a bit of a run here. At Houston tonight, at Pittsburgh, you'll have 10 days to get ready for that team. Cincinnati, then it's at the Patriots. Potentially four first place in the division. We'll see what New England does for the next few weeks. At Cleveland, they can't play offensive football. Philadelphia and the Jets to round out the schedule. There is a window there where they can go 14-3, take care of business tonight, and you'll still be in the race for the one seed for the AFC East. But it starts tonight, taking care of business. And then one other tweet as well. We were talking a little bit about Tyrell Shavers to start the show and kind of where he's, you know, really developed. And is he more like a Duke Williams, or is he really kind of ascending? And Jam tweets in, Stevie Johnson and him have the same type of vibes, in my opinion. Not the same receiver by any stretch of the imagination. Stevie Johnson was not a necessarily big guy, a wonderful route runner and a true kind of wizard at his position, and a true tactician. Shavers is much more of like the athlete and what have you, and bigger guy. But yeah, I think that's maybe the high end. I think that's what you're hoping and dreaming of. Not saying it's not going to happen, but I think that is absolutely the dream. That is going to do it for me today. Pregame coming up at 3 o'clock with Shope and the Bulldog, but coming up after a quick timeout, more on the Sabres. Sabres Live, that's on the way next. This is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.